Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, you've got to love my first guest. She's going to tell us why we should make mistakes, why we should get out there and screw up. She says it might even be good for you. She's going to tell us how to stop coping and start living. We'll also have a quick chat with change agent and founder of Up Your Creative Genius about a new year, a new you. And we'll end today's show with Mimi Pettibone, a.k.a. the Dream Detective. Her work is really amazing, so we're going to throw open the phone lines today. I hope some of you are, I hope not everybody out there is driving or in a place where they can't call in, because we'd love you to call in today. If you have a question for the Dream Detective about a weird or recurring dream, or about sleep in general, we'd love to hear from you. And of course, you're always welcome to call in on for any guest on any show. But, in particular, if you've got dreams that you would like to know the meaning of, we'd love you to call in later on in today's show. And I'll give out that number now, but of course, I'll give it out when Mimi comes live as well. And the number is 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW, 888-298-5569. Or you can email your dream to me at info@conversationslive.net, and we'll get your dream question answered. I've got a couple already from listeners, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they mean. Well, let me introduce my first guest to you. For many, many years, about 30 years actually, Catherine Tristan lived a life riddled with worry and anxiety until she learned how to apply certain strategies in a holistic manner. She's a research scientist on the faculty of Washington University School of Medicine. She's written or co-authored more than 250 articles in leading scientific and lay publications. And she's a member of the Anxiety Disorders Association of America, the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology, and the American Association of Immunologists. And she's written a really great new book. It is called Why Worry? Stop Coping and Start Living. Catherine Tristan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Vicki.
This is such an interesting book, because so many books out there tell us how to cope. Your book tells us how to cure our anxiety and worry. Why did you come at it from that angle?
I'm coming from that angle because instead of just coping, which means going day to day, basically living the same way that you have been living, my suggestion is by making a few distinct changes that really aren't all that hard, but by being persistent with some of those changes, we can not only just get through each day, but we can learn to enjoy them more, to find our passion again, and to lead a happier, more productive life.
Mm. Well, I want to share a little bit of your background with our listeners so that you know you haven't just researched this. You're over at the University of Washington, a scientific researcher there, but you've actually lived this for 30 years yourself. But I wanted to share a quote that's on your website that says this. It's a Chinese proverb, and I just love it. It says that the birds of worry and care fly over your head. This you cannot change, but that they build nests in your hair. This you can prevent. I just love that proverb.
I did too. I just snatched it right up and put it on my site.
So tell me a little bit about your 30-year trip with worry and anxiety. I mean, you had it pretty bad. There were times when you didn't even want to leave your hometown, the town you were living in.
Yes, you know, it's a lot of us have more fear than we ever want to admit, and I had quite a bit. I was as a kid, I was more sensitive, I think, and a lot of us are hypersensitive about things, and we kind of come at this from childhood. But when I was in college, for instance, I remember studying day and night for finals, chemistry, my nemesis, and I couldn't quite get it, and I thought my life would just be over. And And when with that kind of a mindset of extremism, I ended up having a panic attack. And then really no one could help me explain what was going on. For the next number of years, a couple of decades really, I went in and out of being anxious, having panic attacks. And once you start agreeing with fear, what it does is it tells you be careful and watch out for things. And so your life becomes more and more restricted. So that's what happened to me, is that I tried to avoid having this and tried to, and I lived my life within this circumference of my area. But what I learned finally, was that the breakthrough moment was that I was making a choice about this, that worry is a choice, that I wasn't the victim. And from there, and over a period of time and rebuilding how I thought about my stresses and worries, I was able to overcome that, travel around the world now, and just know it's a much happier life when we challenge our fears.
Yeah, and that's what I think makes your book so different. You know, I'm having a little interference on my headset here, so we're going to go to break just a little early and see if we can take care of that, because I don't know if everybody else can hear it too. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest in this segment is Catherine Tristan. Her new book is called Why Worry? And when we come back, we're going to look at some strategies that you can use today to stop coping and start living. Please stay tuned. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Enjoy your food, but eat less. A simple way to eat less is to be mindful of what you're eating. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Eat slowly and enjoy the taste and texture of your food. Use hunger and fullness as cues to recognize when you've had enough. Healthy meals start with fruits, vegetables, and smaller portions of proteins and grains. And don't forget to choose low-fat or fat-free dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
Coming up Monday, January 7th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Could losing weight be as simple as figuring out which foods your body has intolerance to? JJ Bergen says yes. Her new book debuted at number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list, and she'll tell us which foods most often cause intolerance-related weight issues. Vicki also talks with Seattle food entrepreneur Justin Marks about his passion, creativity, and vision for his place in the food world. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Tired of the insanity of other talk radio stations? Just click your radio knob and say there's no place like Alternative Talk 1150.
I can make you mine, take you some wine, anytime, night or day.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest is Catherine Tristan. She's on the faculty of Washington University School of Medicine as a research scientist. She's written a great new book called Why Worry? And she wants you to stop coping and start living. And as we said at the top of the hour, this book is more about curing the issue than just learning to deal with it. So, Catherine, just a quick word on this, since you research immunology. How does worry and anxiety affect our immune system?
Well, it's a major impact actually on our immune system, and I like to explain things really from both sides, because number one, our immune system, even 5 minutes of very strong negativity can suppress your immune system for up to 6 hours.
Wow.
You know, and we have been around for millions of years. We're very much an interactive human being. You know, all of these systems interact and feed off each other and teach each other. And the other thing that I like to mention, is that worry is actually part of a psychological immune system that's just like the immune system, which is trying to protect us from dangers. But in this case, instead of the cells of our body protecting us and sending out things to kill germs and viruses and bacteria, it sends out thoughts. And so it's like thoughts coming at a continual barrage, almost like on a conveyor belt. And so really to understand and do better at handling the worry, we must learn to see those thoughts coming and choose which ones we want to pay attention to. That's kind of the key similarity between the psychological and the biological immune system.
Interesting. Now, you break worry down into three levels, if you will. Level one, it's the worry is that little voice that alerts us to possible trouble ahead, which we need. We need to pay attention to that. At level two, you say worry spreads and escalates into the fearful hypervigilance, the anxiety, and at level three, it erupts into panicky feelings. Why do you break it down that way?
Because I would love us to really understand how this is working. And a lot of times what happens is we go right into the red zone without ever realizing we've gone through level one, then level two, and now we're at level three where we're being overwhelmed by our own fears and worries. And by taking a step back and learning how your mind is working, learning how to listen and agree or disagree, we can change whether or not worry is a good thing for us or a bad thing. You know, some people say worry's bad, but it isn't. It's a natural system that's in our body. It helps us to be prepared or stay ahead. That's the good side. That's level one. Helps us be proactive, like if you want to get in better shape for a sports competition. And, you know, it also helps us avoid danger. Maybe listening to that voice in your head that says, don't walk down that street, is a good thing. So the difference is learning how to balance those thoughts that want to help us, but sometimes when we pay too much attention to them, then they end up harming us, and we are reaching level three, a panic, depression, goes into much more serious things than worry was ever meant to do.
Right. And you make a very good point in the book that, you know, if we worry, I mean, I used to worry terribly. I've learned over the years that it doesn't really get me very far. But that, you know, the more we worry, the more we find to worry about. It's like this pervasive circle, isn't it?
Yes, but you want to know what? This is a very good statistic, and I love science when it comes up with this type of statistic. 85% of what we worry about never happens. So, yes, we must be prepared, and yes, there are a number of things that we really have to think about and plan for, but 85% is a pretty steep number.
Now, you talk about the four concepts in the book. You share those as ways of coping. I wonder if you'd cover those with us right now, the four core concepts.
Absolutely. What I learned, despite being a scientist and very much left-brained, what I learned is that if you want to really handle worry, your fear, and your stresses, it's an inside job. You have to work from inside to outside. And I came up with four concepts that I thought helped explain at least the progression that I went through and that I think could help anybody, and that's the core concept, C-O-R-E. The C stands for choice. And that is, do I agree with the worry thoughts that I'm having? And it's actually better mostly to disagree, but to pay attention to that. But I have a choice. I am not a victim. Recognize that you do have that power. And the O stands for outlook. Once you realize that you do have a choice, you know, you can ask your question, can I change how I'm thinking? Am I willing to consider how to change my outlook and how I view this problem? Can I turn it around in some more positive way? And that's the O. And the R stands for risk. And even though most of us worriers like to run away from risk, that's the last thing that we want to do. The thing is, what empowers you is learning to take a risk. Is that, am I willing to take a risk to get out of my comfort zone? Can I take that leap of faith to improve a situation? So risking is actually a very powerful and important thing to do. And the final concept is E, where it's embracing my spirit. Because I found that I was body, mind, and spirit, and I needed to tackle this from all perspectives. Is there a way that I could look at my problems from a higher perspective? Can I engage my my spiritual or intuitive side, and how can I? And if you put all of those together, that progression allows you to tackle any problem that you have, not just worry.
Right. Now, I want to go back to the R in the core concept, which is risk, because this is something which, you know, I know from personal experience to be true. And there's a saying that I love, and I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's something like we grow or shrink in direct proportion to our experiences in life. And I think oftentimes when we are worrying and we're coming from a place of fear, we tend to shrink down. And you say in the book that exploration pushes energy outward and fear contracts it. Talk about that a little, if you would, please.
Absolutely. So fear is trying to protect us. And a lot of times we might need that protection. So what we do is we recoil. We hold ourselves back. We don't go out there. We don't change something. We are protecting ourselves. But when you take a risk, especially if you do the work that I'm talking about in the book and learning to get better control of your mind, your thoughts, you know, rewire your brain essentially into a more productive and positive outlook. When you do that, you learn that risk is really what propels you along. Risk is the thing that helps you attain your goals and to agree to try to connect with your passions. You know, we're held back so often that we don't even think, what is my personal bucket list, even if it's for the next month or the next 6 months or year, forget your entire life. Do I have a bucket list that I'm not doing? And if I don't, maybe I should get one. But in order to do that, you have to learn to take steps, whether it's to pursue your passion or even whether it's to handle your relationships better. How can I communicate my feelings better? Can I get out of that comfort zone? But that's where you're all tuned up and your car is not going anywhere until you first turn that key on and move it. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to do, is to get moving.
Yes, absolutely. Give me an example, if you wouldn't mind sharing, of how you had to learn to take risk when you were filled with anxiety and worry.
What I would do is, the thing about risk is that you have to take little steps. You know, if you're afraid of flying, just to take an example a lot of people are afraid of, you don't necessarily just book your flight and fly over to Europe or something like that. You take small steps. And if it's any kind of a goal that you're trying to reach, if you can even chart your way, you know, make a list of five things that would take you to reach your ultimate goal and give yourself permission to try the first one and then try the second one, change it as you go along. And then for me, what I did, since I was afraid to get too far away from my hometown because I was afraid of having a panic attack, I would visualize what I wanted to have happen. I would meditate on different days. I would put affirmations and what I call manifestos. This is what I want to happen on my mirror. Like, I am comfortable no matter where I go. I am powerful and I am loving. And so I put those post-its up so I would saturate my mind and visualize that and meditate. But then I would take the step. I would take drive a little bit further than I did before. I would take the physical things, such as remembering how to breathe. There are things I talk about in the book about learning to remember to breathe, physical things that will help you to remain relaxed. And so there are a number of things to do. So you do an entire spectrum of things, all focused on your goals. But first you have to have the goal.
Right. One of the things you had anxiety about was driving over bridges. And I know people here who will not cross the bridge. They'll drive all the way around Lake Washington and not go across that bridge. And I'm laughing, but it's not a funny thing if you are genuinely, you know, have anxiety about it.
No, you do. And so what you end up doing is you part of what helps you with the bridge or the elevator or any situation, crowded situations, maybe you don't go to concerts or sporting events because you're afraid of that, is to learn to hear the voice that is holding you back in other ways, too. It often isn't just one thing, but sometimes it can be. So when you what you can do is tackle things little by little. What I did is try to build my inner sense of power, and I also went out and drove over the bridge, but I made it a little bridge at first. And then I also gave myself permission, you know, recognize the fact that this is anxiety. Instead of running away from it, I allowed myself the possibility of having anxiety, but that I could manage it. And so I did the work. And also, learning how to breathe is so simple, but so powerfully important. When you're coming up to a situation that you're nervous about, say you're approaching that bridge and you're driving it, but you're going to tackle that fear. Learn to deep breathe. Bring along water, bring along something to eat, keep your sugar level more constant. But taking charge of your breathing is a powerful way to bring yourself not only more oxygen, because when we shallow breathe, that fear breathing, we're short of breath. We bring along our own oxygen by taking charge of that, and also it sends a signal to the body to relax. So even something as simple as learning to take charge of your breathing helps. And also visualize yourself doing that every day before you want to do that. Any goal that you want to tackle, any fear you want to tackle, see yourself in your own armchair going there, doing it, what it would be like, and going through it. Visualizing, your mind has no way of knowing whether or not you are in a real situation or you're imagining it. So it's just as powerful to imagine you are succeeding at something than running away from something.
Yes. And I love you saying here as well, find something to laugh about or induce anger, because you can't have two competing emotions at the same point. And I can think of times when I've been afraid. I used to horse jump many, many, many years ago, and there was one horse who I was terrified of, and I'd have to get angry
right.
to be able to deal with him, because it overcame my fear of him.
It's true, you know, and it works briefly. You don't want to do that all the time.
No,
angry person,
no.
But it does work. If it's a competing emotion, then it works. And anger and peace, I mean, and fear, those things are different emotions. And I've done the same thing, too, just to get a brief grip on it. And what that also tells you is that, you know what, I do have control over this fear. And sometimes you just accept the fact that you have the fear. Other times you say, you know, I do have tools to deal with my fears. And that's one of them that does work.
Right. Right. And I should add, I was angry with him because he bucked me off several times. So we're almost at the end of our segment. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
I would like the people to know a couple of things to think about before we end, and that is, remember the incredible power of how you are thinking. It programs your mind. Change how you want to think about something. Come to it with a different point of view. Try to stay positive. And here's another really powerful thing. Focus on now. Live in the present moment. When you're living in the present moment, you're not thinking about the over and done past or the scary future. Learn to live in the present moment. It's very powerful. And the last thing, when you go to bed at night, do not review everything that went wrong. Review everything that went right. And it's called what I call the 5-minute mental marinade, where you just take a couple minutes before you go to sleep, deep breathe, find 5 things that actually did work for you that day. Think of someone that you love or something that you love. Take more deep breaths and just fall right into sleep and marinate all night in something a lot more positive than worry.
I love that. The 5-minute marinade. There we are. That's how we need to end every day before we go to sleep. And very quickly, could you give out your website, please?
Yes,
Catherine.
I have lots of information on that. And you can also order the book off of there if you'd like. And it's whyworrybook.com.
Thank you, Catherine Tristan. Thank you so much for being with us today. Great book.
My pleasure.
Great book.
Thank you. Have a wonderful new year.
And you too. Happy New Year. And please do stay with us when we come back. We'll be joined by Patty Dobrovolsky, and she's going to tell us about something exciting that's coming up. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Optigest and Connectin, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, January 6th, we'll welcome in the new year with the first Behavior Training and Healing Sunday of 2013. There's lots to catch up on with my absence through the holidays, plus I'll have open phone lines, so if you've got a new animal friend in your life or questions about an older one, plan to give me a call. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And my guest in this segment is Patty Dobrowolski. If that name seems familiar, it's because she joined us on Monday, October 29th. And she talked to us about her new book. Today, she's going to talk to us about something exciting that's coming up next weekend. It's called New Year, New You: Spiritual Goal Setting to Help You Lead Your Best Life. And I'm in love with Patty Dobrowolski's work. She's a business consultant, keynote speaker, change agent, and author of Drawing Solutions: How Visual Goal Setting Will Change Your Life. Patty, welcome.
Oh, Vicky, thank you so much. I love tuning into your show, and I love that 5-minute marinade that Catherine gave us right before.
Yes.
I came on. That was so great.
Yes. I've been trying to do that in the mornings lately, too.
I love that.
About setting my intention.
Yes,
but
right.
You tell us what you have coming up, because you have a great new workshop coming up. Your book, as I said, is Drawing Solutions. We talked about how visual goal setting will change your life. And I was so impressed with that. I've really taken a deep dive into the work that you're doing and just love it. You're the founder of Up Your Creative Genius, and you go around doing this process with Fortune 100 companies, nonprofits, small businesses around the world. Tell us what's coming up next weekend.
Well, next weekend, I'll be doing a New Year, New You, as you were saying, spiritual goal setting workshop at the Seattle Unity Church. And it's going to be from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on that Sunday. I am also the speaker in the morning, so I'll briefly be there. So if you want to catch one of their services, they're just lovely and very embracing of all religions. So I like going there. And so at 9 and 11, they have a service. And my title topic that I'll be talking about is Love is the Portal. So I'll be talking about love in the morning, and then in the afternoon I'm going to show people in that two-hour workshop how to set goals from the highest place, really, and also to attach them to a visual so that you can accelerate them happening more. And so you can find out more information by going to www.seattleunity.org.
So research shows, I saw on your website, that the odds against you making a change are 9 to 1. And you're going to talk about how we can beat those odds, right, as well?
Yes, that's the whole point. And also, too, you know, when you – one of the things that I'm big on is using both an inner and an outer visual to help you stay focused, because your brain gets bombarded with so much information all the time. This is one way to keep yourself intact and aligned with that which you want most in life.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to achieve your goals when you've got that alignment.
And are people going to have to, because you're known for your fabulous strategic illustration, are they going to have to draw anything? Is this going to be a hands-on workshop? Tell us about that.
It will be a hands-on workshop, and you will be drawing, but what you need to know is you don't need to know how to draw to come, that any kind of symbol, even a word, a picture of a word, and writing a word in your brain registers as an image, as a picture. So you can be as basic as possible is actually helpful to you to get that picture out there. You don't need to know how to draw. I've seen your drawing, so I know you can attest to the fact that anyone can draw a picture, can you?
Oh, boy.
That was
painful.
No, what I meant by that was anyone can draw, because you were the one that said you couldn't, and then you had a beautiful picture to show your studio.
My stick figures, yeah. Yeah, I think as long as you can just get something down on paper, that's what's important.
That's correct. I'm sorry, I didn't mean for you to think that the wrong way.
No, I'm teasing you. I'm giving you a hard time. Yeah. Well, I thank you for coming along and telling us about this today. And I want to, this is so affordable. $25 in advance, $35 at the door. You can't get that kind of deal anywhere these days. So I would highly recommend it to anyone who wants to make changes. Patty's work is phenomenal. Your website, Patty, I believe, is upyourcreativegenius.com.
That's correct.
And that's where people can find out more information, right?
Correct.
All right.
Right there on the website. And so I hope to see people there on Sunday, January 6th, 1 to 3. It's right in downtown Seattle, 200 8th Avenue North, the Seattle Unity Church.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for being here with us, Patty.
Thanks so much, Vicki. Thanks for having me. And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, too. And again, Patty Dobrovolsky, her website, upyourcreativegenius.com, and you can find all the information on there. Please stay with us. We're going to be right back with the Dream Detective. And we may just open the phone lines if you have a dream you want to ask some questions about. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans. Brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
Coming next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, from gluten-free pasta and coconut jam to pheasant sausages with cognac and a brand new Seattle store. Meet Seattle food entrepreneur and business owner Justin Marks of Marks Foods. He'll share how his dream went from a picture in his head to reality and offer insights on how he's managing to build and grow in today's economy. Tune in to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair every Monday at noon Pacific. Find guest details and more than 200 podcasts at conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we're in our last segment of today's show. It is flying by, as usual. And we're going to talk about dreams today. So I'm going to give you a number. If you have a recurring dream, a weird dream, or just a dream you want to, you're wondering, you know, heck, what did that mean? Feel free to give us a call, and our dream detective today is going to answer those questions for you. Her name is Mimi Pettibone, aka the Dream Detective. She's been fascinated with dreams, spirituality, and the mystical realm since she was a small child. Her background includes training in NLP, hypnotherapy, voice dialogue, and other modalities of working with consciousness. Her knowledge and understanding of symbolism, metaphor, and spiritual psychology contribute to all of her work, as does her intuition. Mimi offers private consultations, readings, workshops, and classes that inspire, enrich, lighten, and entertain. Love that. And you can find out more about her at thedreamdetective.com. But let me give you our call-in number just in case you are listening today and would like to call in and get your question about your dream answered by Mimi. You can call toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. Or you can call 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527. Well, Mimi, I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you, Vicki. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk with you today. I met you at an event, and I was with a friend, and she had a dream that kept bugging her, and she started talking to you, and I was listening and was very impressed with what you had to say.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear.
But tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in this. I know you've studied these techniques for working with dreams. You're a natural empath. Your intuitive abilities often guide you in this work, and you've been doing it for a long, long time. You've been fascinated with this for many, many, many years and done a ton of research on it. So tell us how it all got started for
you.
Well,
I think my first interest was when I was small, because I always had dreams that intrigued me, and like a lot of people, I think I just had a natural sense that they must mean something, but at that point, I didn't have the tools to figure out how to understand what they meant. And then when I was in college, I was in something called a dream group where we learned techniques for working with our dreams. And that was when all the light bulbs went off. And I've been hooked and fascinated ever since.
Well, we put this up on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. And so I've got several emails from listeners that I would love for you to answer them if I can read out their dreams to you. Is that okay?
Yes, I'd love to hear them.
So the first one is from Joy Stevens, and she posted this actually on Facebook. And if that name's familiar to listeners, she works in the nonprofit field and actually was a guest on here, I don't know, a year or two back now. But Joy's a great person right up here in the Bellevue area. And she says, I have a recurring dream. It's about college. She dreams that she failed a class and did not graduate. But the truth is she did graduate, and summa cum laude at that. Go figure, she says. So what does that mean? Because she's dreaming she didn't graduate when she actually graduated very well.
Yes, not dreaming of not graduating from school or not being prepared from the exam or not being able to find the classroom, those are some universal dreams that we all have. Certain dream themes tend to be very common, and most of us will have them, while other dreams may be very unique to the individual. So this is a classic one, so it's easy to sort of say what it might mean for her. Now, that said, I always like to check with the individual if it's possible. But in general, this dream, especially failing to graduate, would be about not giving herself enough credit. So, like your first guest was talking about, we all experience anxiety, and our dreams help us process this. So it's kind of an anxiety dream about not being able to live up to the task. So if this is recurring, or whether it happened once, the clue is to look at what's going on at the time the dream happened and see what you can connect the dots to, because the chances are that somewhere in her life she was either feeling unprepared or like she wasn't going to do whatever it was that she needed to do to live up to the standards that she had to do. Chances are, especially since you've told me that she did graduate with such high honors, that she's not the kind of person that would let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this sense, it's just a fear dream. Sometimes we're really not prepared, and it's saying, hey, you need to prepare or study or whatever. But with her, I'd say it's kind of her worst fear being such a high achiever. So it's her fears coming out in her dreams.
Oh, interesting. Isn't that interesting? I've got some more emails here. I have a personal dream I'd like to get analyzed today, too, although I think I know the answer to it. But I want to get listener emails answered first. So Rachel Sims, all the way out in Ohio, listens to... she's not going to be listening to the show. She's going to listen to the podcast because she works on Mondays. But she has a recurring dream about her former fiancé. She says she's been happily married to a wonderful man for 10 years, but for some reason started dreaming about her former fiancé. She gave his name, but I don't think I'll give that out.
Okay.
I haven't seen him, thought about him, so I have no idea what brought this on. In the dream, we have a very strong chemistry. He says he wants to be with me. I'm not married in the dream, but he's cheated on me before, and I don't know if I can trust him. Eventually, she does. And then when they get together in the dream, he totally disappears on her. He doesn't return her calls. He's gone off with a younger woman, and he's very smug about it all. And every time she wakes up from this dream, she's totally perplexed, thinking, why would I dream about this? Why would I dream about him?
Yes, interesting. And a lot of people will tend to dream about their ex, whether it's ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, their first love, their last love, most recent love. It is a very common theme. So we always want to look at what that person represents to them. So what could be coming up, I'll throw out some generalities and then we'll look at the specifics of hers. In general, it can be about when we are responding to somebody in the same way that we responded to that ex. So somebody who's kind of pushing our buttons in the same way that ex did, or somebody who reminds us of them, or there can be a multiple different things, but these are some of the common ones. Now with her, he wants to be with her, and she knows that he's cheated on her before, but despite that, she gets together with him, and then he disappears. So usually it's not about the actual person, the actual ex that the person was with,
mm-hmm.
but it's about what's going on with the dreamer. So with her, I would look at the metaphor, and I would say, is there anything that's going on in her life that she wants to connect with, whether it's a part of herself or some type of hobby or interest that she's been wanting to pursue, where she's had a bad experience in the past and she's going for it again anyway, and then it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not even be a romantic relationship. It could be a job or a hobby or something else in her life.
Right. So do you recommend a way for people to figure this out when they have a certain amount of information and they're trying to figure out, well, you know, why am I dreaming about him and who might it really relate to or what might it really relate to?
Yeah, one of the simplest things I say is ask for 3 descriptive adjectives for that person. So I'd say, how would you describe that former fiancé? And whatever 3 words she gave me, I'd say, what else does that apply to in your life? That's
okay.
One of the most basic ways. There's
okay.
many ways. So sometimes it's easier to get help with another person working with your dream because I always say dreams are like relationships because when we're in them, we're kind of blind.
Right. Right.
If you've been out of a relationship for 5 years, you say, you looking back, you can see why that person wasn't right for you. But when you're in it, you can't see the forest for the trees. And
right.
dreams are sort of like that, too. So having someone help you with an outside perspective can be very helpful.
Huh, interesting. Well, I have a couple of great questions from listeners here that I want to get answered, but we're going to take a very quick break before we do that. My guest in this segment is Mimi Pettibone. She's known as the Dream Detective, and she's right up here in Seattle. She has a great website with a ton of information up there called thedreamdetective.com. Is that's right, isn't it, Mimi?
Yep, that's
yeah,
right.
Didn't have my, there we go, thedreamdetective.com. And we're going to take a very quick break. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And remember, if you have a dream and you'd like Mimi to tell you what it means, you can either just email me at info@conversationslive.net and we'll read it out on the air. Or you can call our 800 number at 888-298-KKNW, 888-298-KKNW, or 425-373-5527. We'll be right back.
OMG!
Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. My guest is Mimi Pettibone, a.k.a. the Dream Detective. And we're talking dreams today and what they mean. And Mimi, we have a caller on the line who has a question for you. Her name is Jill. Can we bring Jill on, Matt? Okay. Hi, Jill.
Oh, hi.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Have a dream, I understand, about returning to your last birthplace?
Yeah, I've had quite a few dreams over the last, year or two.
Okay. So why don't you go ahead and tell Mimi what that is all about?
Okay. The dreams are, I'm returning to the same workplace. Sometimes the environment has changed, but some of the same people are there, and it's a surprise that I'm still dreaming about them. Still.
Okay, so you're dreaming of a place that you used to work
at. Used to work, yeah.
And are you currently working now?
No.
Okay. So sometimes when we dream of people from our past, whether it's from the workplace or school or friends, they're reminding us of something. So I would say, what do you feel like in the dream when you are back in this workplace?
It varies. Sometimes I feel like, why am I back here? Other times it's just fun visiting.
Okay. So again, with recurring dreams, we want to look at what the recurring situation or issue is in our life that is triggering this. So if you start paying attention, you can draw the connection. So I also would like to look at what are people saying when they're talking about the dream. When you say, why am I back here?
Mm-hmm.
That makes me think, what's going on in your life where you're ending up in a situation where you don't want to be? Maybe a situation that you used to be in. Why am I back here? And doesn't necessarily mean physically, because dreams will often make things physical in the story that are more emotional or a metaphor for something in our waking life.
Oh, that makes complete sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So when was the last time you had this dream?
Probably about 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, uh-huh.
Okay. So the further away in time the dream happened, the harder it gets to connect. But it may click for you right away, and it may click later. But think back a couple weeks ago, what may have been going on where you're saying, why am I back here? Now, I don't know which version of the dream you had, the fun one, or the why am I back here?
I'll look, because I keep a journal, and I can look back at the actual day when I had the dream. So,
right. And are you looking for work right now or just done?
Yeah, looking for work.
Okay. So I would wonder if this would just be a guess here, but you'll know what resonates for you.
Sure.
Is if you're thinking, how did I end up looking for work again? Why am I back here in this place where I have to be looking for work again?
Sure. That makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting how that all connects.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Jill. Well, Mimi, my engineer disappeared on me. Boy,
just like that.
I just love being out here all alone, Matt. Okay, so I have another question that I promised I'd get this one answered for a listener. Okay, so let's get this in, and then I hopefully can ask you a couple of more questions that I have. Joe from British Columbia. This is quite a funny one in a way, and I've had similar kind of dreams myself. But anyway, let me read what he emailed. I keep dreaming that I have to get changed into my gear. He's a professional athlete. And that there are no doors on the changing cubicles. People can see me and it causes me great distress because I'm getting changed. I'm naked. It's all hanging out. Really odd because I'm a professional athlete. So being naked in the showers around other people is pretty normal for me. The dream is random, but I've had it many, many times and I can't think of a reason that sparks it. To me, it probably says I feel vulnerable about something, but I don't know what. How do I figure that out if I'm on the right track?
Yes, great. Another classic, being naked in public. And he's right. He's right on the mark with the vulnerability. That's usually the feeling that goes along with it. And usually it happens when we're feeling vulnerable somewhere in our life, vulnerable and exposed. In his case, I would wonder, and you don't have to say, but I would wonder if maybe he's some kind of professional athlete, because oftentimes people who are in the limelight, their private life becomes public.
He is a very big name, but he just wanted to go by Joe.
Right,
so we'll leave it at that.
We'll protect his identity. But anyone who's in that position, especially when they're in the public eye, their private life becomes exposed, so to speak. So here again, we have a physical metaphor. The dream shows it in a physical image of him being naked, but the metaphor is emotionally, he's feeling exposed with his private life being revealed to the public, which happens to many celebrities.
That makes really good sense. So what can he do about that to stop having that dream? Can he stop having it? I don't think he seems to like it.
Right. In fact, usually once we understand a dream, it will stop reoccurring because it's just trying to get its message across.
Oh, okay.
So the message is, you know, hey, I'm feeling exposed. So if there's anything he can do to better protect his private life, that would obviously help.
Okay.
Sometimes just the understanding of the dream helps in itself. And I just want to mention one, in a small percentage of the case, sometimes when people dream they're naked, usually we feel like, oh my gosh, I'm exposed and I don't want to be. But once in a while, someone will feel like, hey, I look good, and I'm proud, and I'm not afraid to show that. And when that happens, it means the person is not afraid to, they're somehow revealing their true self. So I always like to throw that little opposite in.
Now, I'm wondering if that's a bad joke. Cause
well, no, I don't think so, because it sounded like he was not enjoying the fact that...
Well, that's true. He didn't enjoy the dream.
Yeah. That's where we always look at the feeling in the dream. So if he said, hey, I was naked and I didn't care, and I said, let them look,
okay,
that would be a different story than if he's feeling like, oh my gosh, I have no privacy.
Okay.
That's what gives us the clue.
Well, we only have a couple more minutes left, and I wanted to get this one out because I think this is probably a fairly common one. This is from Linda Y., and her question is, she says she keeps dreaming about her deceased parents. The dreams are nearly always different. Sometimes they are both in the dream, but most often it's one or the other of them. But the dreams are very real, and they're not necessarily unpleasant, but I always wake up in tears feeling depressed. I did email her back and asked how long ago her parents died, and her father passed away 5 years ago. Her mother passed 4 years ago. Is that enough information for you to...
Absolutely. I do believe in something called after-death communication, and one of the markers is that they feel very real. So if people have lost a person or even a pet, and then they have a dream that they come to visit them, some of the qualities are it feels very real, I could smell their perfume, they came to visit me in my bedroom. Not all dreams, most dreams don't take place in our bedroom. And not all of these have to be in the same dream, but these are some of the common traits of these dreams. So if somebody, the first thing I heard is it feels very real, and that tells me I believe personally it was them. Usually also they will bear messages of reassurance and comfort, such as, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm okay. So those would be some of the distinguishing markers of these types of dreams versus, oh, grandma and I were knitting quilts like we used to, and I wasn't aware of the fact that she had passed on. So rather, or some kind of struggle or strife, because these dreams usually bring positive messages. So rather than waking up and feeling depressed, I think she should feel very happy and blessed that she's actually had these visitations.
Okay. Well, Linda, why, if you want to email me back and next time you have that dream and see if you can work that around, it'd be interesting to follow up on that. That sounds great. We are almost right at the end of our segment, Mimi. These sessions fly by really quick.
Yeah.
I want to let people know about your website because there's some great information up there. And you send out little tip sheets. You have tip sheets we can download about the one I'm looking at right now is how to ask your dreams a question and wake up with the answer. I think that came in a newsletter. Great tips there. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I think we're all faced with decisions and choices and struggles in our life. And if we learn to listen to our dreams, they can really help us through those. They can help us decide where to move, what job to take, what career direction to go in, who to marry. They can even help us with our health. So we're accessing a greater database of information of our own subconscious mind and also, I believe, the quantum field or whatever you want to call it. So by listening and paying attention to our dreams, I think they can greatly enrich our quality of life.
Right. I thank you for being with us. This is really interesting. And, you know, I wish we had more time, but really interesting stuff. Thanks for being with us, Mimi.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And I want to thank you for being with us today, and especially to people who emailed and Jill who called in today with your dreams, because that's what it's all about. We are going to be back next week with an all-live new show, and I'm looking forward to that with Justin Marks of marksfoods.com. You can reach me at info@conversationslive.net or at our 800 number, 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. 7617. I'm always happy to hear any comments or feedback you have on the show or any suggestions for upcoming guests or topics that you'd like to hear. So we're going to leave you today, and I hope you're going to have a fantastic new year. Be safe tonight. I'm heading down to the Space Needle for the fireworks. So happy new year to everyone. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
This is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.